Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Hi there, this is From the Rookery End, the regular Thursday edition with me, Adam Leventhal, the Watford correspondent of The Athletic, as your host. Coming up, we'll reflect on Chelsea, we'll look ahead to Manchester City, and we'll be digging into some of the key subplots at the club, mainly focused on injuries, let's be brutally honest, over the last 7 days, and give you an insight into what I've been writing about on The Athletic with its dedicated coverage of Watford. You can head to theathletic.com/rookeryend to subscribe and take advantage of our latest offer. Alongside me this week is Mike. How are you?
Do you know what, Ad? I'm really good.
Oh, that's good. And Dave?
I know.
Considering we've just played Chelsea, we've got Manchester City to come. Yeah, I'm also in relatively good spirits.
Well, now, before we get stuck in to the footballing side of things, I'm sure that everyone listening, especially those that were at the game at Vicarage Road on Wednesday evening, will want, as we do, to extend their praise for the swift action that was taken by all at the club, the medical staff from both sides, the stewards, the other medical services staff as well, to help the person that was that had fallen ill during the game in the upper, Graham Taylor. And Mike, I mean, you were there as well in the stadium. It was a moment where it was just like, yeah, football doesn't matter. Let's get this sorted.
Absolutely. It was incredibly concerning. It became very apparent very quickly it was a serious issue. And I think at that time, you know, it puts things in stark perspective as to where football is on the importance meter, doesn't it? And I think that those sort of moments where you're thinking about it gives you a bit of time to reflect. And I think that's something we'd all do well to remember. But the other thing I wanted to say was, you mentioned the people that helped there, Adam. I think there's lots come to light today that a lot of fellow Watford supporters were very, very swift and clear-headed in their actions and helped with the situation very, very quickly. And it's a difficult time at the moment, isn't it? And I think it just goes to show that people are inherently good. And luckily, we know that the man has made a decent recovery and is recovering well, thanks in no little part to the people around him. And I think it's just nice to know in this difficult time that people are, when the chips are down, people are very, very quick to help. So obviously, the most important thing is a full and swift recovery for our fellow supporter. And yeah, just a huge thanks and well done to everyone that was able to make sure that the situation was came to a happy conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully agree. It was a strange scenario, but thankfully, it seems to be progressing well for the individual involved. Let's deal with the football on the field, and it was a game that probably everyone was thinking was going to end in defeat. But no one imagined that Watford would come away from it thinking, you know what, oh, that's really disappointing. We could have won that one. We could have, at the very least, got a point from that one. And I wrote an article about it for The Athletic, which came out on Thursday morning. And ultimately, you know, when Thomas Tuchel is saying that they were lucky, they couldn't get a grip in the game, he didn't really know what to expect from Watford. And yeah, he admitted that maybe he got his preparations a little bit wrong. But you know that you've been moving in the right direction and you've been doing the right things. And I think that, I mean, Claudio Ranieri said it, that he felt proud of his team. I was watching it, obviously, from a journalistic point of view, and I have to be mildly non-biased. But I felt bloody proud of Watford, and I felt that I was watching a side that had an identity, that had integrity, that were following through actions that had been set out on the training pitch, and they did a bloody good job. Yes, there was a few imperfections, but on the whole, that was a very, very good performance. And I think it sort of bodes well, maybe not necessarily for the Manchester City game, which we'll talk about, but certainly for the remainder of the season. If they can keep that up, and this is what Ranieri said, they should be competitive, really competitive in the relegation battle. What was your feeling after it, Dave?
Yeah, very similar to you. I was really, really encouraged with the levels of performance, because going into it, Chelsea were top of the league. I've seen them take a few teams to the sword already this season, although they have had a few sticky games lately as well. But you just don't expect to get anything out of the game against a team like Chelsea, the European champions, the current Premier League leaders, a wealth of attacking midfield and defensive talents. And goalkeeping talents at their disposal, but we set the tone really early on, didn't we? From the first minute, we were in their faces. We weren't letting them have any easy first or second balls. We were pressing as we have done more consistently in recent weeks. The crowd were up for it. It was under the lights. It was all coming together. We had a few early chances. Pedro had one that nearly went in. King had a few sniffs. Dennis looked lively. It just, you know, it was a great start. We set the tone. And what, again, was really encouraging was that even after Chelsea worked their way back into the game once the teams had come back out and got the first goal, not for the first time this season, we didn't let our heads drop. And we came back into the game again. We kept going. Dennis gets another goal. And ultimately, the game was lost due to perhaps a bit of tiredness on our part, you know, slight momentary switching off from Kiko, from Lusa, from Sissoko in that move, which led to Ziyech scoring the winning goal. That is going to happen. It's really, really difficult to maintain your performance levels to such a high level over 90 minutes against the best teams. But I think we've got a lot to be happy about with that performance. And it does give us big, big encouragement going forward.
I don't think we should underplay it at all. I think up until, certainly until Mount opened the scoring, what was that, half an hour in, Watford were making Chelsea look a bit daft. They were running rings around him. It looked like they had no idea how to deal with the pace of how Watford were playing, with the strength, with the sheer relentlessness of the press. When Watford had the ball, they were moving around quickly. When Chelsea had the ball, Watford were forcing them into mistakes. And it was, in the context of what we were expecting, it was quite extraordinary. And I just wonder, and you, Adam, you mentioned about details and the players doing what they're supposed to do. One of the interesting things was there were boos ringing around Vicarage Road when it became clear that Watford were kicking towards the rookery end in the first half. But I think we thought against United, perhaps United had made that decision. I think it's pretty clear now that that's something that we're deciding to do. With a view to building up a head of steam with this press, and to try and to get on the upper hand and to discombobulate the opposition, and it's working. But in terms of an overall performance, as a Watford fan waking up this morning, it's very, very rare that I wake up having with Watford losing and me waking up with a spring in my step. Well, I did today. Pride is the right word, but also excitement and galvanised for the coming fixtures, which are going to be really difficult and much more important to us perhaps than this Chelsea performance. I think all of them came out of it with credit. Yes, there were mistakes, but I really don't think we should underplay just how unsettled Chelsea were and how average we made them look, because we did that to them. And hopefully the players are in the training on the training ground today with their confidence massively boosted after that, because they are showing now on a more regular basis what they're capable of. Application and ability. We're seeing both of it now, and It's great.
Yeah, and plenty of character as well in that Watford side at the moment. And it's interesting you mentioned about the fact that Chelsea almost looked a little bit ordinary and looked a bit set upon due to Watford's pressure. Simon Johnson, who's my colleague at The Athletic, and he covers Chelsea very, very deeply alongside Liam Toomey, he said, you know what? I haven't seen a side do this to us, you know, attack and put pressure on Chelsea since Manchester City were doing it. So it shows that not many teams actually are willing to go toe-to-toe with Chelsea and take it to them. Be on the front foot in possession, but also out of possession as well. It's a risky risk-reward strategy, and you need to ensure, and we've discussed it before, especially with the Manchester United game, that if you are going to do that, it has to be joined up behind you. Otherwise, you're going to leave gaping holes and you're going to leave a lot of space behind you. If everyone's squeezing up together and there isn't any space for the likes of Mount to pop up in between the lines and things like that, then you've got a chance. And then you then look forward when you do get the ball. Have you got the players to be dangerous? And I wanted to just, you know, have a bit of a word about Emmanuel Dennis, because a lot of people were thinking, hang on a minute, we've lost Sarr, and there might have been a little bit of a deflated feeling. But I think we all know that he is the star turn, really, in that Watford side. And yes, obviously, cumulatively, when you haven't got Sarr there and you haven't got him available, or other players pick up injuries, you are going to miss him. And he is a gem of a player in his own right. And we hope that he is back, you know, in January or whenever he's going to come back. But Emmanuel Dennis is, you know, really stepping up now. What is it? 6 goals, 5 assists. And just the way he plays, the fact that he, and this is what Claudio Ranieri said after the game, actually, he doesn't mess about. He's not a player that sort of waits, stands on ceremony, and yes, maybe sometimes his decision making isn't bang on, but his main intention is to get the ball and attack. And that's maybe sometimes the criticism of Ismaïl Assar, let's be honest. You know, there have been times when you think, oh, he's on the right hand side. Go on, take him on. Dennis always does it. And he's someone that really gets everyone up on their feet. I mean, he's such an exciting player to watch. It feels like a privilege almost that we've managed to snare him on not a massive amount of money. And we knew that it was a little bit of a gamble. And I was actually reading back the piece that I wrote about him when he joined, just to sort of look at some of the things that were being said at the time, you know, when he'd been at Bruges, and even, you know, some of the people that I spoke to that had worked with him at the Nigeria international squad, you know, were saying, you know, there's a few little things about his character and stuff like that. It's a gamble, but so far it's paying off. And it's great to watch him, isn't it, Dave?
It's looking like the bargain of the season in terms of the whole league, really, at the moment. If you think that he's a £3 million player and has now got 11 goal involvements already this season, which is right up there with some of the absolute best elite players in the division. And it's been a joy to behold, really, his sort of... You know, there was the early signs against Villa, and then obviously everything sort of went a bit awry for a few games or whatever. But he just sort of... The momentum has just gradually built for him, hasn't it, over the past sort of 6 or 7 weeks. And he's a real threat. He's playing with confidence. We've seen him play in all three of the front positions now, from the left, on the right, through the middle. He's flexible. He's versatile. His attitude seems to be spot on at the moment. It's been interesting hearing a couple of the interviews that he's given after games and around games. He's clearly got a, you know, real personality, a bit of bite to him. A few expletives dropped into a couple of interviews that he probably shouldn't have used. But I like that about him. He's got character. He's really up for it. And, you know, there'll be... You know, Manchester City have got a few... I think they've got a few defensive injuries, potentially, at the weekend. So there might be one or two players coming into the team that haven't played that much for them lately. They won't be taking him lightly. They'll be worried. They'll be doing their homework on someone like Dennis, and he'll have them worried.
To put his performance into context, Chelsea hadn't conceded an away goal in the Premier League from open play until last night. Dennis scored one, so he broke that duck. And really, we should have scored more. And a lot of that is largely down to the dynamism of his performance. I think what surprised me the most about him, I don't know why, but it always shocked me a little bit, is just his touch. The way he's able to bring the ball down and as Adam describes, get straight onto the attack, straight away give the defender something to worry about, whether it's on his chest, he did that wonderfully a couple of times last night, or bringing it down with his foot, get the ball under control, and his first thought, off we go, what nuisance can I make in the opposition box? And
he did that against Manchester United, didn't he, for the Josh King goal. He plucked that ball out of the air, immaculate first touch, put it across the front of the goal, and that ball, that absolutely sumptuous little delicate little dink of a pass through to Sissoko just before half time last night was exquisite.
And high on confidence, I think you'll find, you know, when we all know, even as amateur sportsmen, when things are going well and your touch feels right. But I do wonder whether he probably relishing that role, if you like, as the star of the team. And perhaps with Ismaïla Sarr on the sidelines for a little bit, he will recognise where Watford fans and where his team will be looking to for the spark. He's basically the main man in there at the moment. And I think that probably plays quite neatly into his psyche. And so, yeah, we're reaping the benefits. And he's certainly, people are making, he's making headlines, isn't he? And I think that can work in our favour, especially perhaps not, it's a bit optimistic, Dave, saying that Manchester City might be worried about him. They will be, of course. But from a more long-term point of view, other teams who are perhaps finding in and around us at the bottom of the table, who are perhaps finding goals harder to come by, might be sort of looking a little bit enviously at what we're creating and what we're doing. You know, Leicester on Sunday, again, we probably should have got something out of that game. We created an awful lot last night. I made the point we should have got a point. Arguably, we should have won the game, really, in terms of chances created and the balance of play. So I think, led by him, we're starting to look like a real, real threat. And yes, while we've got issues at the other end of the pitch, I don't think we can underplay how important creating chances is and scoring goals is in the Premier League, especially in a relegation dogfight. So hopefully the other teams are starting to think, right, we're going to have to adjust our plan to deal with Watford and perhaps think twice about the way they approach us, because they know how dangerous we are going forward.
I think that the knock-on effect as well from Dennis being so confident for the likes of Joshua King is really, really important, because he knows when he gets the ball, if he goes and he makes his run in behind, the ball is invariably gonna find him. And you were right, yeah, pointing out the fact that when Sissoko came forward, he'd made the chance himself by turning away really well on the halfway line. Sissoko, he found Dennis and he knew he was going to get the ball back. There seems to be a great sort of confidence among the players that if they make that run, then they will be found. And that's really, really important. I wanted to just drop back into midfield and, you know, just have a little bit of a discussion about Imran Lusa once again, because yes, we saw him do what he did against Chelsea, against Manchester United, in that same role. There was, you know, a bit of a chop and change against Leicester, and both he and Tom Cleverley got taken off at half time, and it was João Pedro and Ozan Tufan that came on. But it's looking good with Lusa in that role, and he doesn't seem to be taking a backward step at all now. And that is a real positive for that midfield, especially when you consider there have been significant injuries. Kutska was missing. You've now got, you know, proper competition, I think, in that three. But Lusa, I wouldn't want to see him not starting at all now, which is quite quite a transformation. Dave,
yeah,
he's coming good, isn't he? Finally.
He is. You're right all along, Ed. But yeah, he obviously had a pretty slow start to life at Watford. And I think, as we've pointed out, to be fair, along the way, some players do take longer to settle for any number of reasons. He's found his way into the team, partly through injuries and suspensions, but he's taken that opportunity really well over the last three games. The Leicester game, as you say, was a bit of a weird one, you know, with the 3-1 or whatever, and it was kind of understandable that we had to do something to try and change it. But the performance against Manchester United and the performance last night, you know, with the caveat, obviously I mentioned earlier on, I think he could have done a bit better for the goal that eventually won the game for Chelsea. But I was really impressed with his ability on the ball, his calmness, his composure. There was just one little moment which just stood out to me in the first half where he, I think it was Kiko, gave him the cut, came back, sort of cut back inside and played the ball 10 yards sideways inside to Lusa. And the easy option would have been for Lusa to look up and maybe spread it along to the next midfielder, or take it back to a centre-back, or maybe even switch it out to Messina or Rose on the left-hand side. But he took the difficult option, and that was playing a left-foot little dink over the top of the Chelsea centre-back to Sissoko, who'd made a run in behind. It was a really difficult pass, but he executed it really well and put us in a good position. He's got that craft about him, which we have been lacking, and we do lack elsewhere in that midfield. We've got a lot of strong midfielders, got a lot of tireless workers, but we don't. The rest of them don't really have much craft, but Lusa does, and I think that's a really important role that he'll play for us in that team.
But that combination is exciting, though, isn't it, Dave? Because we've got Lusa, like you say, craft is a really, really good word. And he's another one that is just all of a sudden is high on confidence. Took a free kick, didn't he? He just had that steely look, determination. No one's going to take the ball off him. He tried with the rebound straight away. No second thoughts, no pussyfooting around. He looks like someone now who understands his role in the team and feels enabled to do it. And I think what's great about that midfield is, earlier on in the season, when we were having very, very different conversations about this Watford squad, one of the issues we had was no one in that midfield, in fact, no one in the team, looked like they wanted the ball. Not a bit of it anymore, especially in the midfield. And whether that is Lusa, who's slightly more, got that craft, like you say, or whether it's Cleverley, or whether it's Sissoko, who are snapping into tackles, making a nuisance of themselves, then getting the ball and then doing something with it. All of that little clutch of players in the midfield now, they know their roles and they work together, they mesh together really quite nicely, and that's where this whole thing is based on, really, this press with those guys making such a problem, really, for the opposition. So little time, and then when they do get the ball, you've got someone like Lusa who is willing and able to try and pick a pass, do a give and go, see that angle that potentially no one else would have done previously. So, I mean, I'm having to catch myself here because we're talking on the back in a week where we've lost two games, conceded five, but arguably I feel happier about this Watford side than I have done at any point in the entire season, even though it's off the back of two disappointing defeats.
We have got closer to the relegation zone as well, haven't we? That's the other thing. You have got to. We are absolutely right to be encouraged by the performance, not just in the Chelsea game, but the first half really of the Leicester game, going forward at least in that one. And it gives us encouragement for games to come against the likes of Brentford, against the likes of Burnley and other teams that we would like to be picking up points and beating. But this week, midweek, we are the only team in the bottom six who have not picked up any points. Every other team in the bottom six got a point, and Leeds of that group won against Crystal Palace. So we have inched closer to the teams beneath us. Norwich are currently third bottom. So we have to underline the severity of the situation that we're in. It's all well and good playing really well, and hopefully the results come along with the performances. But we do need to get points.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I was going to jump in earlier there just to try and stop the negativity. But you have to remember, no one was budgeting for any points in these games. You know, against Arsenal, against Manchester United, against Leicester, against Chelsea, against Manchester City. The fact that we have got three out of the four games so far is probably more than we budgeted for. And basically, I remember Ranieri saying before these games, all I want is for performances to develop, for us to stick to our principles, to stick to our philosophy. And yes, of course, there will be a different tension. We won't be the underdog against, you know, all the other teams that we are going to come up against afterwards. But we will have these reservoirs, hopefully, of confidence to say, look, come on, we've done this before. And we're not going to have as much quality coming in the other direction. There are no easy games in the Premier League and all that sort of stuff. But they can take great confidence that if they do that against lesser teams, then lesser teams won't be able to deal with it as well. Now, what I wanted to just quickly talk about is unfortunately another injury. And I wrote at length prior to the game about all the injuries and the knock-on effect for the likes of Saar and Nkulu as well, you know, potentially strengthening at centre-back, maybe a free agent signing, or at the very least signing a new defender potentially in January. The fact that Adam Messina went down with the same thigh injury that he'd struggled with at the beginning of last season, and he's going to be having a scan, and the severity and the layoff time will be confirmed, you know, relatively soon. It looks like he's going to be missing for, you know, a good few months at least. I mean, fingers crossed, if it's worse, or if it's better than first feared, then brilliant, and that is great news. But it's looking like Watford will have to sign a left back in January, maybe even a free agent earlier. And it's my understanding that they want to go with an experienced left back and someone that can step in and be, you know, be ready to go. Not bring in someone that is a development left back, let's say, to slot in behind Danny Rose. They want someone who can come in and play well. Because let's be fair on Adam Messina. He was looking pretty dicey earlier on in the season. But since Ranieri has come in, I thought he'd actually got a lot better. And he was blood and... Yeah, he has been trusted. And he's been, you know, blood and thunder. He's also been a good communicator, a good conduit from Ranieri out onto the pitch as well. And he's assumed that authoritative figure. And yes, look, he might not do everything perfect and he might be a bit of a bull in the china shop sometimes. But he's been working his nuts off both ways. And I think it's a real shame for him, obviously personally, to be missing, but also for the team as well, because he seemed to know what his role was. If you take it back to the Liverpool game, no one knew what was going on, it seemed, on that left-hand side. But, yeah, we don't need to think about that Liverpool game too much. But, you know, it is a blow, but it does mean that there's going to be an extra sort of an extra thing that is added to that transfer activity list for the hierarchy, which does include helping that defensive unit, which is gonna happen. Mike, maybe just a quick word on the defensive side of things for Watford, because let's be fair, they did do better against a high caliber opposition, certainly than they did against Leicester, which was very difficult conditions, but they didn't make as many mistakes and they seem to be refocused, I thought, against Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, we know what the issues are. We know that the defence is probably substandard for this level. However, we've got what we've got, and there's no point moaning about it too much when you can only put what you own out on the pitch. And I think you're absolutely right to make that point, Adam. Whilst potentially the goals would have been snuffed out by a better calibre of defence, as a unit, as a whole, you wouldn't look at us last night and say we looked absolutely appalling defensively, would you? So I think you have to give them credit where they came together, worked hard, stuck to their task, especially with that early disruption. I thought credit to Danny Rose when he came on. He didn't let himself or Watford down at all. I thought they were, in the main, focused. They were concentrated. Yes, they got undone a couple of times, but that's going to happen when you're facing players of the calibre that they were playing last night. I think probably the best, in a backward sort of way, the best tribute to them is that we only lost the game because of very small momentary lapses. It wasn't a completely haphazard performance, which we have seen previously.
No one ducked under a long ball and let it go behind them. That's basically what you're saying.
No, no. Yeah. And it kind of makes it all the more frustrating that we were undone effectively. But we weren't totally masters of our own downfall, were we? Where we have been so many times before. And I think perhaps that speaks to the growing belief in each other, the growing belief in how they're going to play football, the growing belief in the head coach, and the growing belief that they might be able to get some results against whoever they're playing. Because the other thing I'm thinking about while we're having this conversation is home to Southampton, home to Newcastle, home to Wolves, where the whole thing was just a dog's dinner that most dogs would have turned their nose up at. So I think we're making leaps and bounds across the pitch. It'd be remiss of us to say that the defence is anything other than in need of running repairs at the very least. But at least what they are doing is looking like they understand their role and they're trying to stick to it. Yes, Trews can't pass the football. Yes, Kiko gets caught out of position. Yes, Danny Rose has limitations. We know that, but we're where we're at, and at least they were sort of operating at the higher echelons of their ability and their concentration and their focus. And I think that bears underlining when you've got to do it for 90 minutes. You know, you look over on the bench and you've got Lukaku coming on. I looked at that and winced, and I was in the stands. So when you know you've been having to be switched on for 75 minutes and then you've got him coming on, it's really difficult. So credit where it's due.
But the thing that mitigates against it currently, at least, is that we are scoring lots of goals. In the last three matches, we've scored 7 and conceded 7. We're in the bottom half of the table. We are the joint highest scorers from 11th down to 20th. But yes, we've conceded. Only Newcastle and Norwich have conceded more than us. So, you know, goal difference is still okay for us. We've got a very similar goal difference to most of the teams around us. We limited that in the games against Arsenal, in the games against Chelsea, with only one goal defeats. And as we will come on to talk about Manchester City in a few minutes, I think we're in a position now where that has got to be in our thinking as well. You know, if we lose by only one goal to Manchester City, it's probably a good result.
Okay, well, we've put it off long enough. We're going to have to talk about Manchester City in a moment's time.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Part of The Athletic Podcast Network. This is From the Rookery End.
So, Dave, I mean, let's be brutally honest. This is the one that we're all genuinely worried about, however well we're playing, just due to the recent history, aren't we?
Absolutely. The aggregate score in the games between Manchester City and Watford in Guardiola's tenure, 39-3 in favour of Manchester City, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I'd learnt today, after speaking with the guys on the Blue Moon podcast, that actually Burnley have a worse record than us against Manchester City in that time. So I suppose that's some very small, minuscule crumb of comfort. But what I was going to ask you, Ad, is do you know when the last time Watford beat Manchester City was?
It's not. Is it the Ewan Roberts game when he scored, like, a million years ago?
It is. 4th of March, 1989, we beat Manchester City 1-0 in the old League Division 2, so the Championship equivalent.
Yeah.
I think it was on ITV. It was the big match selection. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ewan Roberts scored and it was 1-0.
Yeah.
Can we all remember what we were wearing that day and wear it again on this weekend?
You have to buy me some nappies then, I think, probably.
No, I always remember
I've
that.
Heard, I've had voicemails from you, David Cameron Walker, that suggest you might need nappies anyway.
What, on Saturday?
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, look, I mean, I suppose it is an interesting one to deal with, because there is emotion involved in this for Watford fans coming into Manchester City matches. You know, obviously, the last times we were playing them, it's been brutal, hasn't it? Everything has been appalling. I know, obviously, you've mentioned there the 39-3 under, you know, Guardiola, but you go back to the last three fixtures, which are the freshest in everyone's minds, and the 6-0 FA Cup final defeat. Then I will never forget the feeling of being sat at the Etihad, and it was, what, you know, 15 minutes in and we were already 5-0 down, and then it went on to be an 8-0 defeat. And that was, you know, Kike's second game in charge, and you thought, oh my goodness, what has happened here? And then, you know, the association with the last time that we played Manchester City was when we were thinking, if we could just keep the score down, this might actually help our goal difference, and we might be able to stay up on goal difference if we could just keep it down. And it was 4 in the end, and that was almost considered a some sort of slight improvement, only losing 4-0. But I suppose now the fact that we're able to come into it with a bit more of an identity, and, you know, try and do what we did to Chelsea, to Manchester City, that's going to be difficult, because I think obviously Manchester City have, I don't know, maybe more adept players to play through a press. That's almost like their MO. That's what they do. So they will be well prepared. Pep will have had a warning from, you know, their current title challengers in Chelsea to go, right, well, we need to be on it with Watford because this is what they're going to do. And they might be able to unpick us in a different way. But I think, you know, you can now look at this game and think, okay, let's banish the memories of the past. Let's not think about how many it is going to be and try and be positive going into it and think, look, this is just 11 blokes against 11 blokes. Yes, their team costs £1 billion. Ours doesn't. But, you know, we might be able to do something. Is this sort of pie in the sky thinking? Are we just all just having to think, right, well, let's just get this one out of the way and then we can kick on to some of the lesser lights in the Premier League? Or is there a genuine feeling that maybe it might be our time?
I'm going to grab my negative crown back off DCW, who's been wearing it quite proudly, I think, for the last couple of weeks, and he's done a very good job. Well done, mate. But I think I just can't see any other way that we're going to.
Did you think we had any chance against Chelsea?
I didn't. No. What I will caveat it with is that after about 70 minutes last night, I thought Watford looked very, very tired. And I thought we looked increasingly, yes, we had a late flurry with the corners, but they were knackered, is I believe the official term for it, as a result of their incredible performance. They ran themselves into the ground. It was, I don't know what the time was when we came off the pitch last night. That's Wednesday. We've now got a couple of days recovery to play against Manchester City. They're tired. They're a thin squad due to injuries. And add that to the fact that you quite rightly made add, I think Manchester City, the way they play is to find the space and to make you chase shadows. So, and they've done it incredibly successfully, as we've spoken about already. You know, the last games alone, 18-0 in the last three games, let alone 39-3 over Pep's tenure. So they know what they're doing and they have done it to us time and time again. So I just wonder whether the fitness levels mean that we're going to find it, you know, as hard or harder perhaps even than usual, because the way that we've negated or mitigated against our defensive concerns has been to play the game in the opposition half, and we've managed to do that to a degree, and we've been positive about the Leicester game, positive about the Chelsea game. Ultimately we've lost them both, and now we're playing probably our kryptonite in terms of the way they play, I think. So, you know, look, I share everyone's confidence that this might be the time that we are able to stem the flow and that we are able to somehow put in at long last a competitive performance against one of the best teams in Europe. But I do think, once again, the odds are very much stacked against us. That, of course, may play into our hands. A raucous Vicarage Road, players, again, with something to prove, with a bit of confidence, knowing that nothing's really expected of them. It could light the blue touch paper for another memorable day at Vicarage Road. If you want to make sure, of course, that is it's a case, get on Airbnb and book me into somewhere for a weekend, and I will stay away. That offer still stands. So look, we're up against it for a whole host of reasons, but I can't be fully commit to the negative side of things, because I'm with you guys. I just think what we've seen has been a team, quite frankly, that we can sort of love and get behind again. And the reason for that is because of the effort, the application, and they're making it fun again. So with that in mind, I'll be heading to Vicarage Road on Saturday with a spring in my step. Definitely more in hope than expectation, but they've shown what they can do. If they can maintain that level and push it perhaps a bit further, who knows what can happen?
Well, let's look at it from the Manchester City perspective. As I said, I spoke to the guys from the very good Blue Moon podcast earlier today, and I was giving them my thoughts ahead of the game, but in turn I heard what they had to say. And look, perhaps this is sort of the natural pessimism of football fans, but none of them were like massively confident that they were going to come to Vicarage Road and just turn us over. They're all looking at injuries like we are. De Bruyne is likely going to be out and has had a really stop-start season this season. Stones is likely to be out, a good performer for them this season when he's played. Gundogan looks like he's going to be out, a player over the last year who's popped up and scored important goals for them. Kyle Walker, a model of consistency, their fastest defender who would be the one that would deal most effectively with our quick attackers, looks like he could be out. So yes, the replacements for all of those players are all world-class in their own right, and this doesn't necessarily effectively balance the scales. but it does give us a few little chinks in the armour to potentially look at, in the same way that we should recognise that Chelsea did not have their first strength team out against us on Wednesday night, and that enabled us perhaps to just worm our way into the game more than we would do if they had the absolute full tilt 11 out. And I think a fast start will be really important in this game, as it was against Chelsea. You saw what conceding a goal early did against Liverpool. You saw what conceding a goal against the run of play early-ish against Leicester did. If you concede an early goal against City, I think they'll dominate the game. It'll be a walk in the park for them. We'll probably lose 3 or 4 nil. If we go at it like in the same manner, even though we might be tired, and we give ourselves a chance and a foothold in the game like we did against Chelsea, like when we came steaming out of the blocks against Manchester United, then we will have a chance. I still think we might lose the game, but I am as confident as I could be going into a City game. And I think we might lose, but I think it'll be, you know, maybe a narrow defeat. And it sounds ridiculous, but you kind of would see that as progress, because we've been so hapless against them. You'd see taking the game to them and emerging with only a 1 or 2 goal defeat as, well, okay, fine, we move on.
You mentioned about the personnel, but also they will have themselves, whilst we will have, you know, a positive performance against Chelsea, they will have fresh in their mind that they were 2-0 up and pretty much cruising against Aston Villa, who then, with a rocket from Steven Gerrard, not literally, obviously, not, you know, from a rocket at half-time from Steven Gerrard, they were up against it. And by all accounts, Aston Villa did push them. And, you know, they ran them ragged as well. So I think, you know, in terms of the turnaround for them, it's equally as difficult, I suppose, for them as it is for us. So, you know, there are little frayed edges for everyone. Obviously, their squad depth is ridiculous and all that sort of stuff, and they should be able to deal with it. I suppose it's disappointing that they've got RB Leipzig coming up a few days after in the Champions League. There's nothing riding on that game, so they can prioritise this Premier League fixture over that one. So, but they do have to fulfil both fixtures. So they do have games piling up themselves as well. So let's keep everything crossed that maybe, yes, we can escape with a -2 or -3. something like that. That would be good.
We've earned the right to go into this as upbeat as is realistically sensible.
Yeah,
I think we've earned the right to go into it not fearing a 7-0 drubbing. In reality, Watford are looking good.
We're going to beat them eventually. We will, and we just will. The worm will turn. I know it hasn't turned since 1989, but I mean, it's, you know, they're the only top team in the Premier League since we've come up that we haven't beaten. We've beaten all the rest at some point or another. So at some point it will happen, surely, and maybe it'll be this week.
I was going to say, if the worm does turn, perhaps we should sign him and put him at centre back.
Well, you know what I'm going to do right now.
Go on.
And I think I've nailed down what's going to happen and how we're going to break the hoodoo. I'm going to send you Ewan Roberts' address, and you can go and watch the game around his house. Just don't go to Vicarage Road. Okay. Watch it with him. Sit on his lap. Whatever. I don't know. Score a goal in his gap between his teeth, or whatever you want to do, and everything will be fine. He's got a nice, lovely, big ginger beard as well. I think he's got it at the moment, but anyway, and he's a lovely guy. So that's it. Sorted. Mike, you're not going to the game. You're going to Ewan Roberts' house.
From the Rookery End, a podcast about life following Watford FC.
So there we go. We're all going to be back at Vicarage Road on Saturday, under the lights as well, which is always even more exciting. And yeah, let's go in hope. Maybe not expectation, but let's go in hope and get behind Watford on Saturday. Obviously, you'll be able to read about whatever happens on The Athletic. And if you want to subscribe, go to theathletic.com/rookeryend. And the boys will be back with the regular Monday episode of From the Rookery End after the game, and they'll be picking it apart. Mike, thank you very much.
Come on, you odds,
he said, sat on Ewan Roberts' lap. And Dave, thank you to you.
Cheers, guys.
Oh, and thank you to you is actually one of the best things about Claudio Ranieri. When you say thank you to him, he says thank you to you. And that is a nice way to end. He's a gentleman, and we're enjoying watching his team at the moment. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon. Fingers crossed for Saturday.